The Helly Kasser Jane Show airs Wednesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern. The podcast always available online at HellyKasserJane.com.
And then on my last birthday, I really went into a tailspin because I got a letter from one of my local politicians inviting me to the park for a birthday celebration where we were going to play bingo. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I mean, these stereotypes that are out there. So I think that's a big part of it, is changing the stereotype of what's old. What does that mean anymore?
Bingo. Not that there's anything wrong with bingo, but bingo, give me a break. And give me a woman of a certain age, because these days, I guarantee she's got more on her plate than a bingo card. Today on the Helly Kasser Jane Show, a look at the new senior woman with three dynamic women of a certain age. The authors of The New Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife, Drs. Barbara M. Fleischer and Thelma Reese. And in our second half hour, Cheryl Benton, the head tomato of the website for women of a certain age, thethreetomatoes.com. But before we begin, hi, and welcome to the Helly Kasser Jane Show. I am Helly Kasser Jane. The Helly Kasser Jane Show is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Get your free audiobook and 30-day trial of Audible.com today by going to our website, HellyKasserJane.com, and clicking on the Audible.com icon. Hey, what's more fun than a free book? And remember, the Helly Kasser Jane Show is always available online at HellyKasserJane.com and a host of venues including Stitcher.com, Spreaker.com, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, and on the iHeart Radio Network. Drs. Barbara M. Fleischer and Thelma Reese, the founders of the popular website ElderChicks.com for women over 60, are members of the fastest-growing part of the population, senior women in their retirement years, also known as women of a certain age. Longtime friends, they are like a lot of senior women these days, and the 8,000 baby boomers who are retiring daily, finding themselves in a world most of our mothers and grandmothers didn't imagine, let alone inhabit. Wives, moms, grandmoms, and successful college professors, they are taking the hot seat for women of that certain age, serving as the catalyst for witty, candid, and inspirational conversation for women entering this next phase of their lives by adding to their repertoire of achievement with their amazing book, The New Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife, a collection of candid and inspirational conversations they had with women from 60-plus to 100 all over America entering this next phase of their lives. Let's talk. Okay, ladies, so let's get to your bios from my audience before we even get going. And starting with you, Thelma, first, that question, how old are you? And tell us about yourself.
I'm 82.
Lovely.
And I have had a long career, obviously, at 82. Started with teaching, and teaching at all levels, from elementary through graduate school. Being an education consultant, being the head of the Mayor's Commission on Literacy in Philadelphia, running a couple of nonprofits, being a consultant for companies like Hooked on Phonics and various publishers. And I'm a mother, grandmother, wife, and still very active with the blog, Elder Chicks, and the book, Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife, about the new senior woman. And now Bobby and I are writing about men, too.
You guys are the best. Bobby, talk to me about you. How young are you?
Well, I'm the senior here. I'm 85. Was just 85 in October. Well, our careers are similar, except mine is not as stellar as Selma's. No, I was taught in public school for a few years before I had children, three children, and eventually went back to get my doctorate, then taught in, then was an academic in college, again, undergraduate and graduate courses. My writing was mainly academic. I was involved in research, and I had several, quite a few grants, service learning grants, college school partnership grants, and, did that kind of writing. And then when I retired, I did go on active retirement, continued my grants, and then decided I'd had enough of that. It was time for a new career. So actually, Thelma and I, who are old friends for many years, decided we needed to write a book because here we are in this stage of our lives.
And great books. And one great book in particular, The New Senior Woman Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife. I want to talk about something about that book. I bet a lot of women can relate. This is something you guys wrote. You said, we started writing this book when we realized that we are reaching this stage in our lives and nothing seemed familiar. We looked around at our contemporaries and saw such a disparity between the people who are actively engaged in life and the people who are living passively. Nothing seemed familiar. Thelma, would you elaborate on that? That's a phenomenal statement.
You know, the world has been changing at such a rapid rate and continues to. I mean, it's spinning like crazy. And if you just look, I think about my mother's life. She lived to be 1 month short of 97 and was totally with it to the last minute. And she often marveled at the enormous changes she had seen in her life. You know, from horse and carriage to flying on jet planes. This happened to her in her lifetime, and she saw it go on. The pace since those first planes flew has accelerated so that it's hard to keep up with all the technological changes. And so the world is not the one that we grew up in. It's not even the one we grew older in. And we can't stop it and get off. So how do we keep up? We don't want to just run in place. And what we realized was there aren't any role models. There aren't any people who lived through all of this. So where do we look for role models? And we realized we have to look among our peers. There are people who are doing it well and people who are not.
The other sentence in that quote that got me, Bobby, is there a disparity between the people who are actively engaged in life and the people who are living passively? Active, passive. Talk to me about that. Such a clue.
Well, when my mother got to be at the age that her children left home, she used to be employed by working for my father. When that all ended, her expectations were very limited. And I see a lot of people today who also have that feeling. They don't expect to really do much in life. Oh, they'll play cards, that sort of thing. But mostly they sit around and complain a lot. They're really not very, very happy. I think they find themselves with much more time and energy than they ever expected to have. And so they haven't prepared or thought much about what they're going to do with all of that energy. And so they end up not doing much of anything. I've heard so many people say, oh, they're just so busy doing busy work. And, well, long before we even thought about this book, when I looked at my mother, much as I loved her, and she was in many ways a good role model for me, but certainly not in the way she lived the last part of her life. And I knew this was not going to be me.
You wanted to do it your way. And I think that's a lot of happened with this new group of women in this generation. You know, Thelma, it comes up on us suddenly. And there we are with these new descriptions. Senior citizens, older, elder chicks, a woman of a certain age. Oh, I love that one. All right? Oh,
I love that one. Personally.
Right? And no matter how...
Because I like being a woman of a certain
age. Yeah, right?
But you know, Hallie, you said you want to do it your way. One of the things is, how do you know what your way is? How do you even find your way when you get to this point? And that's the idea of looking at role models. It's not that you're going to do what they did, but you're going to notice that people have a way of, Bobby likes to say, whether you look at this as the end of the road or a fork in the road.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a fork in the road, you're going to figure out a way to keep going. You're going to find what it is that you still want to do. Maybe it's something you never did before. Maybe it's something you wanted to do and felt you didn't have the time when you were busy raising kids or having another career. But somehow you really can find things that really not only interest you, but make you feel satisfied and good about yourself when you go to bed at night.
There's something in that besides that, which is I think a lot of women of that past generation didn't think they had options.
Right.
Right? We may have too many. I mean, maybe it gets confusing for some people. Well, you know, I can do that. I can go that road. I can go down the other fork.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I think that has a lot to do with it. But let me get back to where I was going with this thing about calling us all of these new terms. Some of them do have a certain derogatory notion that comes with those descriptions. And this is where I wanted to go with it, and I'm curious of what both of you think. Where once our grandmothers were revered as wise, and they were well respected because they were the seniors and they were the grand dames of the family, if you will, having lived their long life, right? It was a virtue. Now, when you get older, you know, people tend to put on you not so wise, just old, infirmed, I mean, cotton-headed, you know, whatever those derogatory terms are. And I want to know about that. I want to talk about that, that we're living in a culture where anything over 20-something is considered irrelevant. Time to rebrand. Is that where the term elder chicks came from? Talk to me, Thelma.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny. We got mixed responses to that term when we came up with elder chicks. Mostly, actually, very favorable. There was the one man who was on a committee with me, and when we started this, I said, by the way, did you see the email I sent? It's all about our new blog, Elder Chicks. He said, oh, was that from you? I didn't open it. I thought it must be porn. Most people like elder chicks. And it's true. We're sort of, I think we've been trying to redefine what we call ourselves. I do think, though, that there's a real change that's coming about because there's such a change in the demographic, Hallie. There are so many more of us.
Right.
And those of us who are fortunate enough not to have dementia, which can happen, or Alzheimer's, which can happen, but those of us who are still functioning well are setting an example and are being seen much more. I think if you look at television, it isn't just for the 20-year-olds anymore. I think advertising is changing and we're seeing older faces.
You know, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Bobby, I want to address something about elder chicks that's not necessarily true about elder man. I wasn't as clever as you are to come up with you and name them. And that is that almost 3/4 of all elderly persons with incomes below the poverty level are women. Poverty increases with age and is especially prevalent among older women of color and older women who live alone. But guys, you decided to look at the possibility that things can actually get better. I love it. Better with age. So that's inspirational to me. So aging women do have incredible stories to tell. And that's what you guys cataloged basically in this new Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years of Midlife. Well, who were the women you interviewed, and how did you meet them, by the way? How did you pick who was going to participate?
You know, when we announced sort of to the world that we were doing this and that we really wanted to interview people who we felt were doing it right so that they would be examples to others and how they solved their own situations. Everybody knew somebody. And, oh, you must interview this one. You must interview that one. And both of us do spend a lot of time in other parts of the country. And so we were able to get a broad group. We also interviewed women at the poverty level in senior groups in the city who had had nothing more than often domestic jobs. We cut across all socioeconomic groups, all educational levels, in order to make sure that we had a real cross-section of the female society in our country. And we found something very interesting. Whether well-to-do, privileged, or very poor, everybody had pretty much the same challenges in their lives. And nobody comes to retirement, you know, all that you see, all these, you know, couples riding bikes down shaded lanes and laughing all the time. I'm sure that happens. I'm sure that we all last somewhat. We all have good situations at some points in our lives, but we also have real challenges that we need to deal with. And it didn't matter what group, what cross-section it came from. The challenges were the same. They were often articulated differently, depending on their educational ability, levels and so on. But the challenges were the same. And very, very few of the challenges had to do with finances. Women seemed to manage to live within whatever means they had at their disposal at the time. I don't know whether they've just come to grips with it at this point in their lives, but the financial was not the big issue. There were family issues. There were downsizing issues. Issues with their children, their grandchildren, blended families, diminishing health. Things like that were the things that seemed to be of concern to people.
Was there one thing specifically, Thelma, that you thought scared people most, women most?
I think the loss of independence is frightening. The loss of independence and the fear of isolation. Those are the things, I think, no matter who the person is, that are really daunting in life. And the wonderful thing about this extra gift of years that we're getting, and we are actually in terms of the actuarial changes, is that we have this opportunity to resolve a lot of things about ourselves, to learn a lot of things about ourselves, and to reflect in a way that helps us understand what's happening to us. But isolation, I think, is a big fear, being totally alone.
So let me take it to the other side, which is, Bobby, what did they find the most intriguing? See, I find all of this intriguing. I just buried my mother just 2 months ago at 94.
Right.
Yeah, thanks.
How old was she?
She was 94, just shy of 94, and she lived to the fullest, let me tell you, until the very end. And, she wasn't taking anything from anybody, live was her thing, and I inherited that, thank goodness. But she'd been a widow.
Good for you.
But she'd been a widow for five. Yeah, I've got good genes, believe me. She'd been a widow for five. But somebody's going to kill me long before I get to 94. I can guarantee you guys that. But she came from a very different generation, and didn't have to do anything in life other than raise her kids, or at least have the housekeeper raise the kids. Blah 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 blah. And then there she was at the end, 5 years. My dad had been gone. And I found that she was still intrigued. She was intrigued by the responsibility of a new life after my dad died, with absolutely no ability to know anything about having to live, because she never had to do anything in her generation. So what's intriguing to women? What do you think, Bobby?
What is intriguing to women? Well, some women actually set out, depending on the age that we interview people from 60 to 100.
Right, that's fascinating, too.
Depending on where they were, many wanted to use their skills to volunteer their skills. Some wanted completely different, to follow a dream that they had abandoned earlier in their lives. Now is the time to pick it up. The ones who are doing it well, we're talking about, not the ones who were sitting back on their rocking chairs.
Right.
And they had very active minds and were pursuing these feelings, these questions that they had. The ones that, and I can't say it was any one thing, but what it was external. They weren't turned inward. They weren't mourning their lost youth. They admitted, well, now I'm older, things are changing, but I'm going to be marching onward and doing things. They just didn't let the fact that they were aging and life was different, and many of them were widows now or alone now. That loss, of course, is a big thing. And they found that they were just eager to go forward and pursue. And this was often after a year or two, which were difficult years for them.
But they had spunk, and I think that's something that is definitely a part of this generation now.
And resilience.
And resilience. Spunk,
yeah.
And resilience.
They weren't going to just throw in and say, my life is finished now.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So, Thelma, I've been reading a lot lately about the reality that most Americans these days can't afford to retire. But even if they can, maybe they don't want to. You two ladies have done something extraordinary. You've reinvented the wheel. You're incredibly creative, God knows.
That's so, so true.
Right?
And
so listen,
congratulate ourselves.
You should. My kind of girls. So creativity. I love that word, creative. That's important to how we map the lives we want to live in our later years. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. You know, one of the people in the book who I've been thinking about lately, and Bobby and I met her, she was actually living in Philadelphia for a while, and she's back in Kansas. She was raised a 4-H girl, if you remember mm-hmm. that term. She was raised on a farm, and she really knew all the skills that went with being a 4-H girl. And she became a very successful business executive. And at her retirement, she and her husband moved back to Kansas, and she started a wonderful business. She was written up in the Times, in fact. She always loved sewing. But she started making pillows and other lovely ornamental things for the home out of people's keepsake things, out of their bridal gowns, mm-hmm. out of their home quilts that were falling apart, and started a whole business that way.
Don't you just
love it? So she was still using her business ability and also doing creative things with her hands that she had missed doing for so many years. People thought of all kinds of ways to do things. Or people missing their own kids became so involved with mentoring other children or finding ways to be not just useful, but to implement new ideas for children in their cities and for other old people. The possibilities are almost endless. As you said, Hallie, you know, maybe almost too many choices. It gets hard sometimes to settle on things.
Exactly.
But you can, and it helps if you, I think, have a journal, keep a journal, keep lists of things that you find yourself enjoying, and understand that when you start something, you don't have to finish it. You're a grown-up. It's like, do you remember the first time you ever started a book and didn't finish it?
Oh, I can't do that.
I can. I consider that a mark of my maturity.
I haven't gotten there yet. I'm just working on
this. I don't have to finish something I'm not enjoying. Oh, well, the same thing in retirement. If somebody starts to do something and finds, you know, I don't like this as much as I thought I would. You don't have to do it anymore.
That's
well,
it.
I found somebody, another way of not liking something as much as I thought I would. That... Well, I don't want to mention the city, was the person who, when she retired, her husband retired, and he just wanted to play golf and then come home and watch television and maybe go to a restaurant or maybe not go to a restaurant. Well, she ended up divorcing him because that's not what she had in mind for her retirement.
Good for her.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Now, I won't pretend that the marriage was wonderful up to that point.
Right.
But this was a point at which she said, I have the rest of my life to live, and it could be another 30 years, and I'm not going to continue in this, dead end, let's say, existence. I'm going to live my life in a much fuller way than he wants to. And so she walked out.
Good for her. But listen to me. Here's the thing. We get older. But many of us don't feel older. To
right.
Some, right? To some, to the world, we become invisible. But still, we feel every bit as vibrant as we always have. And mm-hmm. and this conversation, your book and the website, I don't know. I think it needs to be more than a conversation. I think it needs to be, listen to me, a movement. You know, like we're like Rodney Dangerfield. We don't get any respect.
Listen, you want to know the chutzpah.
Right.
We had three missions when we wrote this book. One was to find role models for ourselves. One was to be role models for our daughters. And the third one was to change the culture
Thank
the
you.
World of our society so that we did get more respect.
And can we take it one step out on that? Because I think that we can take what we have. It's almost a moral obligation, as far as I'm concerned, to make it more about, I don't know, about just how other, it's not just about how others see us. It's how we insist they treat us. right?
Absolutely.
Right. I think that's very true. But, you know, it's incumbent on the older people, too, to interact with younger people in a way that shows that we respect them as well.
Well, that's true.
I mean, let's face it. There are a lot of obnoxious older people. Anybody listening who's hearing me say this, I know that we are not among them. However,
there are a few. There are just a few. You know, I have to tell you something. This morning when I was doing this and looking into all of this, I happened to go to the Drudge Report, you know, on a break, and there sitting in big bold letters is Dem Oldsters Dominate Party with pictures of, you guessed it, right? Ms. Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, and Harry, or at least they put a man in on this one, and Harry Reid. And I'm going, what? When? This is nuts.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? I mean, come on, guys. Give me a break. I mean, that's why your book is so darn important, and everybody, young, listen to me, young and old needs to pick it up and read it. You know, I find myself incensed, though, all the time about all of this, because it's not just Drudge Report. Then you turn on the TV, and you guys talked really about the ads, and you say the ladies with the gray hair. But how about the ones with Depends and, you know, and Viagra? Oh, yeah. Recently, we had a very young football player who had a night on Viagra. You know, he was only 30-something years old. I mean, what is going on here? I mean, you know, the only person I know and depends is my daughter, who at the end of her pregnancy needed them desperately. Sorry.
Well, you know, there are all kinds of ways to live in the world. We are about people finding their own way and making the most of it and not having to conform to some kind of notion of what we're supposed to be. We like to say, you know, when we use rocking chairs, we rock, but not in the sense of rocking chairs.
So at the core of all of this, my two good new friends who I love, is humor. Right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, listen, without it, absolutely, you cannot go through this time. You cannot go through this time. There is enough to cry about, but if you don't find the humor in it, it can be unbearable. But if you do find the humor in it, you really can have a lot of fun and keep doing things. You know, I don't know if you got to that part yet, but one of the wonderful people in the book is a woman named Elena. We gave her the very last words in the book, because she says, when I can, I will. When I can't, I won't. But I'll be glad that I did when I could.
Oh, my
That's
God.
Her motto in life.
That should be everybody's.
She lives it, and she's wonderful. We have met so many really wonderful women by doing this. We interviewed over 200. And we ended up with certainly increased respect for so many. There are really a lot of great people out there.
No, that's true. That believe me, that is so utterly true. But listen, at the end of the day, we've got to wrap it up. I wish we didn't, because I could go on forever. But at the end of the day, is there a secret to vibrant aging? And if so, what?
My feeling is that it's accepting that you are aging, that this is a good thing. You've lived a long time. You've lived we hope, a very good life, and there's much more ahead, and that you have to live to the end to the fullest.
I would add to that even if you think it wasn't so hot, even if you think you haven't led such a good life, there are lots of good things ahead that you can do and experience. And if you're resilient and if you still want to learn, I think you have a wonderful time ahead. And look, we have Google now. There's nothing you can't learn.
Absolutely, absolutely. And just from my perspective on it, it's attitude, baby. You got a new attitude.
Oh, yes.
Right.
Oh, yes.
I've been speaking with Drs. Barbara M. Fleischer and Thelma Reese, the founders of the popular website ElderChicks.com. And the authors of a really fabulous and informative book, The New Senior Woman, Reinventing the Years Beyond Midlife, by way of Roman and Littlefield. For your copy of the remarkable book for women of all ages, visit www.thenewseniorwoman.com/purchase. And don't forget to visit their great website and blog at elderchicks.com. After running her own successful ad agency on Long Island, Cheryl Benton sold her agency to one of the largest ad agencies in the world and spent nearly 25 years in the New York City ad agency world of Mad Men and women. Benton, a.k.a. the Head Tomato, then founded and became publisher of the very juicy thethreetomatoes.com, a digital lifestyle magazine for women who aren't kids. Having lived and worked for many years in the land of size zero 20-somethings, she was truly starting to feel like an invisible woman. She created the Three Tomatoes just for the fun of it, as the anecdote for invisibility, and sent it to 60 friends. The rest, as they say, is history and success. No surprise, Cheryl Benton is a force to be reckoned with. As a passionate advocate for advancing women and girls, she truly believes that tomatoes have an obligation to help other women succeed. She's actively engaged with the U.S. National Committee for UN Women, which is the United States entity that champions women around the world. Recently named a top CEO by Smart CEO magazine and honored with their Brava Award, she's a frequent speaker on marketing to women and women's global issues. Wife and mother, she says her favorite title is grandmother. Let's talk. So, Cheryl, you sound like a woman who had it all, successful career, you're a wife, a mom, you were living in that some consider the greatest city in the world, population yikes, and yet, as you drifted closer to becoming a woman of a certain age, you began to feel invisible? Talk to me.
Yeah, well, not only was I feeling this, I started to realize it was happening to all my friends, and it just sort of creeped up on us when we least expected it. And I started to notice it probably shortly after I turned 50, although I think there were signs of it even in our 40s. And what starts to happen is, I knew all these great, wonderful, smart, accomplished women in New York City. But whether they were over the age of 40 or 50 or 60 or whatever, they were starting to feel that they were being ignored. And it was almost as if the media stopped talking to us. And, you know, you certainly see this in New York and any big cities, because when they talk about things to do or what's going on in the city, it's all for, you know, as in New York, I like to call the smart 20-somethings who live south of Houston Street. But, you know, there's the whole rest of us, you know, and then suddenly things like, you know, shopping became a chore because it was like suddenly there weren't clothes for you anymore. And suddenly there are, you know, restaurants where you couldn't have a conversation, or if you went to the bar, you couldn't get the attention of the bartender. So there were a whole lot of things that suddenly start to get thrown at you, and you're like, oh my gosh, I've become invisible today. When did this happen?
So what happened? So what, one day you woke up with an aha moment and you said, tomatoes, tomato, eureka, the threetomatoes.com. How did this whole thing come about?
Yeah, so what, you know, so what was happening was I had, you know, left my career in advertising, and I was doing consulting, and I was having conversations with, you know, my friends who were, you know, all these great women. And we had conversations like this, like, you know, God, where the heck can you go and you know, find clothes, find a store in New York City where they have clothes that are actually over, you know, a size 4, for example. Or where can we go and have a, you know, dinner? I like it to call them, you know, husband-friendly restaurants where our husbands can actually hear what we're saying to them across the table. And then, you know, one day a group of us went to this bar and we literally could not get the attention of the bartender. I mean, it was ridiculous. So I just thought, well, if no one's going to pay attention to ourselves, we're just going to start finding these answers for ourselves. And it was basically conversations I was having with my friends. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to start an e-newsletter. And I sent it to 60 friends, and it just took off from there. So what I discovered was there are, in fact, thousands of women who were feeling invisible, and probably a whole lot more than that, but certainly a lot of them who have flocked to the Three Tomatoes for the anecdote to invisibility.
I totally relate to what you're saying. I mean, it's scary how much, in fact, I relate to what you're saying. But tomato, interesting. You know, in my dad's day, a beautiful, sexy woman was often referred to as a tomato. Was that what you had in mind?
Absolutely. It was sort of a throwback term, because a tomato was, you know, she was smart, she was sexy, she kind of knew her way around. And I'm like, you know, I didn't want to have a name that was age related, because I think, you know, we're just, you know, we are ageless. So it just was a fun term. And I had three great friends. And I just said, well, we're the Three Tomatoes, you know. And that was
that's how that got started.
The start of that. That's how that came about.
You know, that's funny because I was thinking about that because my dad was, you know, just like that Frank Sinatra kind of tough guy, and he was, you know, he had this thing about broads, and, you know, whatever. But you know, he always was very respectful about it. You know, and I think that ties into where we are today, and that's maybe women of a certain age, which is what the title of the show is. You know, we're not getting the kind of respect we should be getting. Yeah,
I agree, and I think it's up to us to change that.
Well, I think that's what we're going to do with this show.
I think we're actually starting to, you know, to make some headway in doing that. But
it's a lot of work.
It's
a lot of work. It's a lot of work. You know what I was thinking, Cheryl? You know, as women, are we too sensitive to what people call us and not sensitive enough about how they treat us? And maybe that's something that you're working on.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, a lot of us don't want to be called seniors. I mean, that's one of those words that kind of sends a lot of us over the hill, or that, you know, when you first get that ARP card in the mail. I mean, that's another one of those horrible moments where, you know, people are trying to, you know, force the age thing.
And the other one is ma'am. I'm going to hit anybody who even looks at me and says ma'am.
Yeah.
Right.
And then on my last birthday, I really went into a tailspin because I got a letter from one of my local politicians inviting me to the park for a birthday celebration where we were going to play bingo. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I mean, these stereotypes that are out there. So I think that's a big part of it, is changing the stereotype of what's old. What does that mean anymore?
Well, I get that. And I think that, you know, as baby boomers, you know, we've changed everything. And to me, this is like the last, you know, hurrah we have to do. We have to change this. We have to change this for us, for our children, for our grandchildren. You know, there was a time not long ago, certainly my mom's generation, when as you approach your senior years, beginning, let's say, with menopause, I always love that expression. Whatever you were feeling emotionally, physically, spiritually, was simply not something you talked about. So maybe in some circles that might even be true today. But not talking about it is completely self-defeating. Don't you agree?
I agree. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, we did a very fun event. It was called The Sexy Have an Expiration Date. And it was on this very topic. And we had two fantastic panels. I mean, one was a panel of experts who talked about feeling sexy at every age. And that was everything from sex and having sex at any age and the body and the changes. And the other half of that was, you know, looking good at any age. And, you know, we had makeup people and fashion people and how to look good. So, but a lot of it is our own sort of, for some of it's a self-defeating attitude of feeling, oh, well, gosh, now I'm too old for this or I'm too old for that. I do think we can change that. I mean, it's not the case. I mean, one of our panelist, who's a sex therapist, had us all hysterically laughing. It was a wonderful story about this 90-year-old woman who came to her who was in Florida, and she was having an affair with the 25-year-old valet, and she needed some advice on what she was supposed to do with this young man. You know, so it was just very funny. But you know, I think you're right. I think the boomers, we've changed the definition of so many things in this country. And I do think we have an opportunity to change at least the perception of what does age mean.
An opportunity, or maybe even an obligation. You know, here's the thing. This is like woman of a certain age. And that's such an interesting term anyway. And it does have a certain, I don't want to say derogatory, but maybe it's derogatory. There's an attitude.
Yeah.
And I'm bringing that up for this reason, because certain age should be see for a celebration. And I'm going to go into that a little bit more in a second. Not see for like it's a cancer and we're all dying.
Exactly.
Off. And I don't know how you get people to that. I mean, I don't know if it's ingrained in you or if it's familiar. You know, I have a lot of friends who are all, you know, like us. And they're just not going to take the sitting down. And they're just out there and they're just having a good time. And there's no stopping them. And they're going to go and they're going to do and they're going to play and they're going to party. And they're going to just, you know, go out with a hoot. And then I do know of other people who've just taken to the bed about the whole thing. It's just like it's all over. What do I do? You know, I can't go out. Look, you know, I need Botox. I'm not going out with them. I mean, what's the deal here? I mean, you know, I wonder what it is within a person's soul that makes them say, I'm not taking this lying down. I am going to go out and I'm going to go out, you know, hooping and hollering and screwing around and having a good time, you know?
Yeah, I think we can do that, but, you know, but there, you know, there are other realities. I mean, so many women I talk to, and we actually polled women, we said, do you tell your age? And I'm in the don't tell your age camp, which there are a lot of us, because it's like if you throw the, it's not being the age, it's when you throw a number out there and then people are like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize you were that old, or I didn't know you were this, or suddenly their whole perception they had of you starts to change. And people certainly encounter this in the business world as they get to a certain age, and it's in every profession. It's not just, you know, ones like acting, although gosh knows it happens there
more than anywhere, right? Sure.
More than anywhere, and it's still happening. I know there are, you know, you would only think that there are two actresses over 50, and they're Meryl Streep and Helen Mirren, right?
It's true.
They get all those.
I don't get that at all. I totally don't get that. But, you know, when you say that point, you know, I was just that when somebody asked me my age, I usually add about 10 years, and they go, my God, you look fabulous.
That's another strategy.
I mean, why not do it? But I do think, you know, we can laugh about this, but the reality of it is it's very hard for women of that certain age to get a husband, to get a good job, to keep a good job, because they want to put you out to pasture if you're over 20 these days.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and that's what we have to fight. And that, I love the three tomatoes, because every single piece that is on, and I comb that damn website. Now you got a new follower. I mean, every single piece that's on there is positive, informative, and really is about change. It's all about change. We're just not going to sit down and take this crap anymore. You even have Dr. Ruth contributing on your website. That's pretty cool.
She's amazing.
How in the world? I mean, that's fabulous.
So positive, you know, and I think that's what about it. It's celebrating who we are at every age, realizing that our dreams don't stop. You know, you might have to rearrange them somewhat, but there's still opportunities. You can still do so many things, and I see so many amazing women not only starting wonderful new things at, you know, this phase in their lives, but also many going back to doing many of the things that they love. One of the things that we started a couple of years ago, and it's my favorite event that we do, it's called Tomatoes Got Talent. And we started a talent show for women over 40. I think it's the only one out there. We call it the first one. Nobody's challenged us on that because I think we are. And the most wonderful thing that's happened is we have gotten the most amazingly talented people who've come out for this show. And many of them had actually started out when they were younger to be on Broadway or professional performers or singers or dancers. And then, you know, didn't quite make it and went on to become doctors, teachers. It's amazing when they get up and said what they did, but they really never gave up on this. And the talent show has been just this amazing celebration of these women. And the great thing is that several of them now have actually gone back to their musical careers, and they're performing cabaret in New York City or going to open mic nights. And they're just all, you know, great examples of, you know, not giving up on what you want to do. And they're just doing this with such joy and fun now. And I think that's what it's about.
It's that, you know, and it's don't let anybody else define who you are according to their rules. I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, as best I'm able to do it by my rules.
No? Yeah, absolutely.
New rules, you know, thank you, Bill Maher. New rules. Listen to me. When you started this project, I guess in a way it was for yourself, yeah?
It was for myself, and it was really just for the fun of it.
But I'll bet you discovered something quite remarkable in the, and this is the word I want to use here, because I think this word in all of this is incredibly important, in the sisterhood, right?
Yes.
For tomatoes, or tomatoes, yes. Or you say tomato, I say tomato.
Yeah.
Sisterhood is key here, yes?
Oh, it's powerful. It's really powerful. And I have to say, I never appreciated that when I was younger, because when I was, you know, coming up the ranks of the business world, you know, all my mentors were men, and there would be women in everything, you know, I happened to be in advertising. So there would be women in advertising groups or women in this group. And I never wanted to be part of those groups. And I've talked to other friends of mine who have said the same thing, because that wasn't where the power was, you know, because those groups didn't have the power yet. So we sort of ignored the sisterhood along the way. And what's great now is, one, we do have the power, and it's amazing to really connect with other women. And for me, just personally, that's been the best thing that's happened to me with the three tomatoes. Many years ago, I had a friend of mine who said to me, when you live and work in a circus, you're only going to know the people in the circus. And for years, my circus was the ad agency world.
Right, right. Well,
and
well said.
Start the Three Tomatoes, it's just been amazing. It's opened up doors and introductions to people who I just never would have met, to so many different worlds. And I just feel very blessed that that's happened. And I'm just so in awe of women now and what we've done and what we can do.
I love it. I love it. And let's give a shout out to our good friend Gloria Felt, who brought us together. I mean, this is it. This is networking. This is sisterhood. This is what it's all about. I want to talk to you about something that's near and dear to my heart. I hold them so close to me. Wrinkles.
Just, oh gosh.
Damn, they're like my new best friend. Wherever I look, there they are, right? I love the video Girl Talks Cosmetics on your website. I mean, really, what are we doing to ourselves, seriously? Because this is something we have to talk about. Aging gracefully with a little help, just going for, you know, the gusto and the hell with it all. I mean, Botox, fillers, now they're talking strings. What's her name from Goop just sent me a note about the new string facelift. Rather than them cutting, they treat you like a marionette.
Yeah.
I've heard about that, right?
Yeah, and what happens when the string breaks and you're in the middle of dinner somewhere and your whole face collapsed?
I don't know. It's just the most bizarre thing in the world. But, you know, we need to talk about this because this is a tough one, and particularly like you and I are both kind of out there. You have to think about that. But what kind of message are we sending to our kids? I mean, you know, going under the knife, doing the strings, you know, doing the Botox, doing the fillers. Is that good? Is that bad? At what point do we just say, now, wait a minute? I don't know. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, no, I know. I agree with what message are we saying to kids. I mean, I have a granddaughter who's 13, and, you know, I'm so aware of how they're also aware of their body images at this point and, you know, so critical of themselves. And you're right. If we don't accept aging, and I guess and what that looks like, then we're just, you know, feeding into this whole perception of what's old, you know, of what it means to be growing older.
Yeah, it's a tough one, isn't it?
It is tough because it's, you know, it's such a personal decision. And I mean, I personally wouldn't go under the knife just because it just would, it would give me the heebie-jeebies. But, but, you know, if you look at all the the advancements right now in aesthetic cosmetics, that whole industry has really taken off. I mean, it's expensive to get most of these things. But one of the women we had on our panel is a young doctor who actually specializes in this field. And it's really amazing. I mean, these injectables are, you know, that can plump the cheeks and make the, you know, the neck look a little better, and now they're starting to last a lot longer. Some of them last as long as a year and a half. And
oh boy,
like, well, if you don't overdo it, is that okay?
And yeah, you know, it becomes
like everybody else is doing it, and you still feel that way even at this age. It's like, well, if I'm the only one keeping my wrinkles, but they're all getting fillers.
Right.
I'm only going to be the only one looking old. Old here.
It's a nightmare. Choices are just way out there. Who knows what the hell you're supposed to do? Listen, I got to keep moving on because I have so much to talk to you about in so little time. But I'm going to do a quote here. In youth, we learn. In age, we understand. That's a quote from the great Shelley Fabre, who, for a woman not of a certain age,
yeah,
the singer of Johnny Angel, of course, one of the stars of the hit TV series, Donna Reed and Coach. Speaking on one of those terrific dip videos that's on your website by Dead Zip on the Three Tomatoes website. I want to say threetomatoesagain.com. So true, right? In youth, we learn. In age, we understand.
Yeah.
Knowing. Isn't knowing the warm, cozy blanket wrapping around you on a chilly winter's night, it's about the knowing who we are.
It is. And that's something that you only do get. I mean, that's one of the good things, really good things about getting to this age. You do know who you are. And you have just such a much better sense of the world around you and so many of the insecurities that I mean, speaking for myself, that I had, you know, when I was younger, just aren't there anymore. And I just think we're more, you know, accepting of other people too.
And we also don't give a
We don't.
You
know,
I love
so
it.
So many things that you know, used to, you know, bother me just don't anymore. You know, it's kind of the same after you've been married for a long time. You sort of are like, you know, we've had this argument before.
I don't know. I haven't lasted
through. We know the ending to it, so let's just not have it.
Yeah, right. I'll take that as advice if I ever do get married again. That's the key, huh? Just we keep on doing the same old things. Stop it. I get it. Listen, I want to talk to you briefly about your work with the UN as a member of the U.S. National Committee for UN Women, which is the United States Nations entity that champions women around the world. I mean, the truth is, while surely women are aging and being relevant is a U.S. issue, it's certainly also women and respect and aging with dignity is a worldwide problem. Here's something I wanted to say to you. I think as we have in so many areas, as I said about that baby boom generation doing things differently, but we also have to deal with this. Talk to me briefly about this. One of the failures, I think, of the women's movement seems to have been that while we made great strides for our generation, our very success in some ways has caused some of the young women coming of age on our high heels, if you will, to drop the mantle. Any thoughts on that?
Well, that definitely has happened to some degree. To a large degree, actually. I mean, a lot of young women, you know, don't identify as, you know, feminists, or actually see that as a negative term, or actually think that, you know, women have achieved full equality and they kind of, you know, it's been done. I don't really have to think about that anymore. And not only is that not true here, but certainly when you look at the rest of the world, really needs those of us who are privileged enough to live in this country to stand up for their rights. I mean, in this country, literally, I mean, we have the privilege to talk about equal pay and breaking through the glass ceiling and getting more women into corporate boardrooms and getting the first woman president. But in other parts of the world, you're talking about places where girls are denied an education, where women don't have the right to own land. They can't, get a job. They have no legal recourse against rape. I mean, it's where their very basic rights, human rights, are being violated every single day. And if we don't stand up on behalf of these women, the world is not going to be better for these women and girls. And that's that to me was the appeal of UN Women, and that we're part of this, you know, the women's movement is global and we can't just think about it here. We need to think about women everywhere. And there's so many of women who are literally still living in the dark ages.
Yeah, and you know, and that's the thing, you know, if people are looking for what, here you are, you know, you're a woman of a certain age, maybe you're retired, maybe you're divorced, maybe you're a widow, maybe you don't know what to do with your time. There are places out there that need you. That's one of the powerful things that women can find out by going to thethreetomatoes.com. There's a lot out there for you to do, a lot of giving back, and maybe that's what happens at this stage of life. It's about giving back.
Yeah, and that's a huge thing that I see with women in this age group who I admire so well, that they do give back. And I love to tell stories of women. There's so many women who have started their own nonprofits. There's one woman I love to use her as an example. She's in the travel spa business and traveled all over. I don't know how many, you know, she's been to all the top spas around the world, but one day happened to go to, I think it's a village in Vietnam, and people didn't have, this village didn't have water. And it, suddenly she just realized, oh my gosh, I have to do something. So she came back home and raised enough money to build a well. Well, 5 years later, not only do they have something like 30 wells in the surrounding areas, but they've also built a school and now they're providing medical care. And this was just one woman, you know, traveling someplace who just said, I need to do something.
Right.
And there are a lot of great stories like that. So,
give back.
Every day we can get up and give back something, whether, you know, it doesn't have to be starting your own nonprofit, but there are so many wonderful
different things
and organizations that could use our life experience and our talents at this age.
Absolutely. So it brings me to this, which is women of a certain age. Oh, that woman of a certain age. I think a lot of people fear growing old because they fear it's over. And I'm out here to shout out for this. Life is just full of surprises, whether you're 11 or you're 85, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you can get up at, you know, in the morning and say, oh, you know, I have all these aches and pains today, and you can complain, you can moan, or you can get out of bed and say, wow, what new things are going to await me on this terrific day? I mean, it's really all about turning it on its head. And if you have that attitude, usually something new and fun and terrific happens. So, you know, it really is so much about how you look at life.
So, Cheryl, you started out on this adventure feeling invisible. I'll bet you don't feel invisible anymore. Your life.
Oh, heck no.
It's my girl. Go for it, girl. Shout it loud. So your life lesson learned and the one you most want to share, because we're talking sharing.
Sorry.
I said your life lesson learned and the one you most want to share.
I think it's just to never be afraid about being out there and putting yourself out there and being open to new experiences and new adventures, just staying open to them and they'll happen.
I've been speaking with Cheryl Benton, the head tomato and that hot tomato of a website for women of a certain age, thethreetomatoes.com. And be sure to visit the sister site, hotlist.com.